Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It is the sense of presence, the knowing that you are. There is no awareness of being, the absolute, the joyousness, the present, the thing which you naturally are, and the recognition and settling back into it. There is only awareness, presence awareness. You're not unaware right now, are you? And isn't that happening presently, right now, presently? I'm the light of the world. You are the light. And I'm saying God is love. If God is love, then love must be God. I can't teach you anything. I can't tell you anything. All that I can do is point out and ask you to look the world and point it out to see for yourself. Nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can do anything for you because there is nobody excepting you.
Welcome to The Inspired Evolution. I'm your humble host, Amra Sandhu, and you're tuning in to a conscious conversation designed to help you grow. Our mission here is simple. It's for you to live your purpose, live your best life, live the life you love. This podcast is sponsored by Enthusiasm for Life, by Great Creation itself. Keep the good vibes flowing for myself and yourself. Do us a solid. Subscribe to the Inspired Evolution podcast on YouTube, the home of the Inspired Evolution podcast. Now sit back, relax, open your mind, open your heart to this conversation and stay inspired. Keep evolving. This episode is with a legend of non-duality and non-dual awareness. This is Sailor Bob. He's the master that's activated other masters in non-duality. And Sailor Bob, this may potentially be one of his last podcasts ever. He is 95 years old and he gives an incredible transmission on how to basically live in a non-dual space and awareness and all the insights from that space. It is tangibly palpable. And also we dive deep what it's like to face your mortality from carrying a non-dual awareness, what it looks like from that place and perspective. Also, guys, a lot of love goes into these episodes, so please do remember to comment, like, and hit subscribe on the video and the channel. Thank you so much for your support. Yo! Welcome back to the Inspired Evolution. And we have with us today Inspiring Our Evolution, Sir Sailor Bob. Sailor Bob, how are you there, sir?
Very much, gentlemen.
Oh, it is such a pleasure to have you here. For those that have tuned into Sailor Bob's work, you know how much of a treat this is for us. For those that haven't, this is going to be an even bigger treat for you. So Sailor Bob, known as Bob Adamson in the formal life, he's from home where I call home. He's from Melbourne, Australia. He's a renowned non-duality teacher. He studied under the great Nisargadatta Maharaj in India. His teachings focus on the simple truth that we're actually not separate from the universe. But the remarkable thing when you start tuning into Sailor Bob's work is he uses clear and accessible language. His book, Living Reality, cuts straight to the heart of spiritual discovery. And I think the reason we're really going to dive deep today is like there's practical insights to understanding our true self and overcoming the illusion of this idea that, you know, we are not in fact one, and that it actually... yeah, is this really interesting experiment that we are the universe. So I'm really thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much for being here, Sailor Bob. And conscious of how much time we have today, I wanted to basically dive straight in, and I was alluding to it before, ask a question around the pervasive nature of separation and the way we live our lives, and also just the way, you know, we view the world from a, I don't want to use this term, but non-awakened state. We generally the separation is all pervasive. Can you speak to the separation, but then also the purpose of the separation if non-dual awareness is actually what is?
Well, the very idea of separation is insecurity. It's isolation. But all the great texts and scriptures will tell you it's not so. There's no separation. It's one without a second. Non-duality is one without a second, not two. Never can be. Never was, never will be. It's the one essence, vibrates, patterns, expresses, and experiences as everything. And the great reality, the great, is non-conceptual awareness. Or they say it, that awareness is a phenomenal manifestation, space-like awareness. They call it space. But everything is the content of space. And you look into that and you say, it's so, it's just so. And you postulate or think of anything outside of space. But space has no beginning, no center, no circumference, no boundaries. You can't say, got any shape or form. But there it is, the very first thing we see. But we ignore it. So it's the closest thing to your eyes in space, but we don't look at that. We see through it on the first thing that appears. And all these things are manifestation, are adornments of that space. They're adorning it, but the space is always the background on which everything appears. And they call it a phenomenal manifestation. And the definition of phenomena is that which appears to be, according to Evans' small appearance. You and I and everything else in the manifestation are appearance, facts and form. All the content of space. Space is no thing. Not nothing. like I say, it's nothing. That's the back end of the line of nihilism. But no thing, it means it hasn't got any shape, hasn't got any pattern, hasn't got any form. But the pattern shapes and forms appear. And they all the content of space. Space of no thing can something come from no thing. And when we believe in them, it's there, not, there's no, we're all not no thing appearing as something. Put an analogy for that, you're looking in the mirror. What do you see in the mirror? An image or a reflection. And the Saga tells you clearly, nothing can trouble you except in your own imagination. What we are imaging, imagining. And that image in the mirror, you can't say it's not there. But try and grab it. Can't pick it up and take it out the mirror. Because it's really no thing. Can't say it is not because you see it. Can't say it is because you can't work. It's the same with this manifest thing. Everything is appearing in this space. Appearing is real, seemingly solid, and believed in, but it's really no thing other than the space. It appears, and if, as I call it, absolute. If everything is absolute, nothing can add to absolute, nothing can be taken away from. Like in Buddhism, they call it the great perfection. It's the same, nothing out of it, take it away from. If that's so, who can ever be superior to? Who can ever be inferior to? And what would you want from anybody else? They'll take a lot of the problems that are going on in this world away. It's all because we believe in the separate, and we've got to acquire or get or become something else. Not recognize that we are already one without a second, not two, but on the dual, not two, only that. And that is the great thing. Well, I am that. And we all know that because that's the genius of the end. That's the room the chair's in. That's the space of the room. That's the sea. That's the sky. Everything is that. But we put words. Where do these words come from? Well, you weren't born with any words. And you didn't pick up words to a couple of years old in the capacity of reading and developing it. And you weren't born. Before that, you had no words. So how can you say you were born? If the child's power was born, so how would they know? Like, didn't have any words. And we picked up these words, and parents picked up words for fucks. Something around us. Spoke these words and we picked them up and they took your little hammer, your little self-power, and they put them up and they go, what do you know what I mean? And then they say, hi, and you want to do it, well, Emily, little Bob, or Jane, what do you know what I mean? Without the Christian, we take them under the world. And the words not for real, not real learning that. We go to school, we learn more words. Now we put this word, so we learn I and me and everything else, and separate ourselves with the word. And the word's not the real. Take to wear water, try and drink it. Try and swim it. See if you can drown. Wash yourself in the word. Word fire, you can't cook with it. Burn yourself with it or heat yourself. What's the word I or me? It's looking like that. You'll see it's the same thing. It's not. We really are. It is not this body. I is not the body. I is not my mind. It's my body, my mind. And that I becomes the me. When you told your morning, little joy, whatever name might be, and you learn I am. The saga tells you to say, but then I am, it's what other people are saying. And people think, you know, that's really got to repeat I am, I am, I am, and come to the seeing what this I am means. It is the sense of presence, the knowing that you are. There is an awareness of being, which expresses as the thought. I am. The I am, it is just a thought. Then we take it on the word that I am this person. And we'll go back and have a look at that. When we were born, you can't remember your birth because you had no word. And you didn't have any words for the first couple of years of your life, but you're getting along with it. or right without the word. So that means that you are prior to the word. You are prior to the mind. You are prior to, you know, where does this body come from? Or go back and have a look at that. Go back to your father, that animating life business. The intelligence is in that life. Only in that life of the sperm to form, the microscope of carbon, which you can't see with your naked eye. That sperm was suffused with intelligence. You know what to do. The same with in the mother. It's what was called public or the ovum before. Which you can't see. It was suffused with intelligence, attached itself to the wall of the uterus. And the sperm, knowing what to do, swam to the ovum and penetrated the ovum with life, and those two little microscope apart. And that cell doubled and doubled again and formed the embryo, the fetus, which is what you are today. What were you doing about it then? Nothing. But it was growing itself. It's growing you ever since till we learned words and took on the idea that we were this person, this separate entity, this individual. And where does the word person come from? Another word we've learned comes from persona, a mask, Latin. We've got this mask or concept. We've covered ourselves, we've obscured our reality with this concept, I, but me. Why is not the word? I am the word. If you were that word I, you'd be frightened of going to sleep at night because it disappears. You're not going to give up your life every night if you were that word, so you know. That word, because you gladly give it away and remember the telling of it. The word is, as I quoted out, not the real, it's not the thing. It's just label we put on ourselves. It tells you in the Bible, in the beginning it was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. That's all that God is. It's the label. All things were made by Him, by the Word. And that's right. Everything we see, hear, taste, that's all we got a word, label. And there was nothing made that was made without the Word. I mean, then says the Word was made flesh and drop of others. So, you know, makes on the body pattern mind. And we never, then we think there's a big daddy up there in the sky somewhere. There's that one life, that's one essence, that's one intelligence that is not superior to you or inferior to you. Because tell them about what I call a cognizing emptiness, an emptiness that has the capacity of cognizing or knowing. And he makes a statement that emptiness is form. We think we cognize the emptiness, sure you don't. As the emptiness is certainly doing the cognizing or knowing, but it needs a pattern to express it. And these patterns, these bodily minds are forms, shapes, and forms. So cognizing emptiness, emptiness is form, pointing out that this body is an empty form. And the form, he says, can be nothing but the emptiness. So it's still that space, all that space like awareness. We are that. There's a vibrate, patterns, shapes, and forms, everything. Look out there in nature. That's where you get the thing from in nature. In nature, right now here in Melbourne, it's light. Why? Because the earth is facing this, it's facing the sun, it's in the light. The other side of the earth, which is supposed to be round, is facing life, so it's dark. All happening naturally and naturally. There's no little bed and wind and it making up light and dark. The earth doesn't know anything about darkness or light. Neither does the sun. It's just the way it happens. And the seasons, the autumn, spring, and summer of all winter come about naturally in it. The tides come in and out naturally in it. These patterns of shapes and forms are born, play around for a while, and then disappear. Go away. Where do they go? Well, you came from out of that space. Everything is the content of space. What happens when you die and then go into the coffin and rot? But in the breaking down of that pattern, it's been still life, isn't it? In the germs and bacteria that are breaking it down, but then it can disappear, or it burns in the mat, it cremated, goes into ashes, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. go back into the dust, and the dust merges into space, comes space again. No reincarnation or any of that bullshit. It's just it's all pattern shapes and forms that appear in space. The same thing happens in this life. You go to sleep at night and you dream. And that dreaming, that body that's lying on the bed, takes it up and about, taking parts. You can be in the hills, you can be in the mountains, see, anywhere at all in that. All sorts of the house, all sorts of things are happening. Going on, you're taking an active part. When you wake up in the morning, where's it all gone? All disappears. And you can't say, there, appear to be there. But you can't say, it's gone. But you don't really want to wake up to this dream. This is a waking dream. Because this dream, when you wake up every morning, it continues from where it left off the night before. And the hill and the mountains or the room and things or whatever, they don't disappear. They go on. And it keeps changing. And we take ourselves to be these person, these pattern shapes and forms and body minds. And it's when you look at it, it's only me that we see for recognizing the absence of these appear. Only me that we unhappy. We that we anxious, depressed, guilty, stressed out. Me is the cause of all this psychological, this belief and this conceptual image. Me, a thought. Because that's all the body mind is. Investigate that. And why this body? And let it be saying, my body. Why mine? You say, my house, my car, my coat. Are you the coat? No. Are you the house? No. Are you the car? No. Maybe you're not the body either. And when you investigate that, what's the body made up of? You see, it's made of elements here, and that's by all the space. Just like the elements around. All those elements, we break it down to subatomic particles. All those particles, we break down to pure energy. It was all a vibrating pattern of energy. Isn't it what that Einstein told you? It's all energy, nothing but energy. It's right. What about the mind? It's in my mind. Well, show me your mind. It's like my house, my car. I can't show you anything in mind. Then what's mind? Realize mind is nothing but thought. What's thought? A word. What's word? A sound. What's sound? Vibration. It's a vibration. It's a bit of energy. And all this manifestation, seeming solid, seemingly real, is not how it appears to be. And they call it a phenomenal manifestation. And the definition of phenomenon is that which appears. So it's only appearing to me. You look at all the space, the basic space of phenomena. The base of it all is space. There's nothing you can postulate or think of can be outside of space. And the words, concept, idea, and everything. Pattern shapes and forms, and look out. When you look into space, you see how it all appears. You go outside on a clear day and see the blue canopy over the sky. Then we say a blue sky. Is the sky blue? If sky is space, there'd be blueness in this room right now. Where is it? Not there. It only appears to be. You go down to the ocean, I say, get me a bucket of blue water out on the sea. You say, don't be an idiot, because you know the sea is not blue, yet it appears to be blue. The rainbow, you look outside, cloudy day, look up in the sky, there's colours in the sky. You went up plane, you see there's no colour there, just shining through it. Cat's got things pasted over the windows in this house. When the sun comes around the west here, it shines through and breaks up into colours on the wall, colours on the floor. Beautiful. When in my room, they seem to be, when you're looking at their life. But all these things we looked into it, pattern shapes and forms, they're all seemingly appearances. They're not the reality. But that life that you are, and the Sagara telling, he says there is only life. There is nobody means of. life lives on life, without life nor life come. And we pointed out before, when you've been, come from that life here, parents. You know? And he said, nothing can trouble you except your own imagination. Break that word imagination down to imaging. And you're seeing the image in the mirror, you're seeing the image of the blue sky, you see all the mental images that we take and we real. Because we never question. A little bit of investigation, they tell you, in scripture, the false cannot stand up to investigation. A little bit of investigation, you'll see it, recognize yourself. And that's what happened down there. The so-called people, the same individuals, investigated that and recognized their true nature and passed it on. And then they made religions out of it and corrupted it to suit themselves. Well, you're a sinner, you're an evil person, you've got to do this, that, and the other, otherwise you'll go to the other place, hell, heaven. Another lot of crap we believe in. We beat ourselves up for the word. But those that touch it, you know, is point out as Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. And again, people thought he's talking about himself. He's not. He's talking about that sense of presence, which expresses through the mind of the thought eye. That's the way it's done. With the thought and seeing what it represents, the presents it. So it says there's only light. There's nobody or nothing that lives on. It's light, you know. Recognizing that's what you are. You are that light. Look at that, Adam and Eve and turning the Bible in the Garden of Eden, paradise, living a great thing. But they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They learnt words and kicked out. And that's what we've done. We've learnt words. We've taken ourselves away from the absolute, the joyousness, the present, and things which we naturally aren't, in the recognition and settling back into it.
Hey there guys, I'd love to sort of get some insights on you in terms of how this video is supporting you in your relationship with your mind, your experience of the contraction of mind. Does that actually resonate with you? And the expansion of spirit that's available outside of living within the confines of your mind. What's your relationship with such experiences, such perspectives? I'd love to hear from you in the comment section below. It invites a massive curiosity for the mind, which I'm very conscious of where the questions are coming from in this conversation, as to why present yourself as this mirage? Why does the mirage exist if our true nature is mirageless?
Well, if you're absolute, what do you know? What can you say? What can you do? Nothing.
No, you're just perfect. I don't want to say perfect, but you're kind of perfect.
So it vibrates and expresses into different pattern shapes and forms to express it, experiences itself. That's all that's happening. Creating these patterns, the trees, flowers, and everything, and expressions of it, which experiences itself in these patterns. But that's all they really are, pattern shapes and forms, illusionary stuff.
And there's this real hankering of attachment then as one of those forms that we have with this sense of I, and as you were alluding to, there's this, well, sincere sense of suffering that, touch wood, can come from this high level of attachment. Even looking at what some of, well, upon having researched a lot through the podcast, like people's biggest fear is usually passing on and transitioning and death. How does the awareness of space, as you described it, like, you know, for those that are attached to this reality, it can be quite a detaching sort of, there's a fear to that detachment. But yeah, can you speak to that fear and how potentially?
Well, that's what they tell you in the scriptures, detach, it's attachment, it's the problem, it's not the story. So we think about the spotty mind, the story comes up. And the story goes on and on and on, and all sorts of things happen from that story of all words. What happened without settle back in the real detach, that's what they tell you, detach from it. We're not attaching to it, and we're just leaving. What's wrong with right now if you don't think about it? Well, to do that, you've got to pause the thought. Try and pause the thought. What you can say without the thought, what you can't say. It's good, bad, pleasant, painful, happy, sad, or anything at all. But do you disappear? You don't disappear without the thought. You're still breathing, the heart's still beating, the functioning's still going on. The thought has ceased from that. When you can't stop which thoughts arise, thoughts come up. What's your next thought going to be? You say, I don't know. Then you don't. The thought will come up. And you gradually say, I think. As soon as you say, I think, you form the subject. Think, me. This conceptual image now become a think. And the thought that's come up become the object. So thinker and thought, subject, only. Dualism. But can there be a thinker without thinking? Can there be the thought without thinking? And thinker and thought both really only thought, vibration, movement of energy, word. That's the same with the seer. The thought I see cannot see. The thought I hear cannot hear. You're seeing through the eye, but the eye's not saying I see. The thought comes up and fails like thinking through this shape and form, through the brain and all that functioning in mind, but the thought I think cannot think. The thought I can think can't see. The thought I feel can't feel. The thought I hear can't hear. There is seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, thinking, feeling. All these things are there spontaneously and naturally. So as soon as we put the label on them, this conceptual image, we've gone back in this idea that we're a separate entity again. And me is the cause of all my psychology and stuff. It's only me that can be defeated. It's only me that can be unhappy, depressed, anxious, guilty, jealous, envy. Me is the cause. And the effects are anger, the fear, the depression, the guilt, those thoughts, thought, feeling, emotion, and when comes the thought first, and the feeling, and sensation. When that sensation comes up and feeling, we put all these labels, good, bad, thing. Only me that we're unhappy, so me is the cause of all my psychological suffering. What happens if I see that the me, the cause, is just a concept, it's not quite really in, and I ask the simple question, can there be an effect if I'm not relating to a cause? There can't be an effect if not related to. So there goes your karma.
I was going to say this. What about karma? Yeah.
There's cause and effect. It's not related to a cause, it's not going to be anything. All this bullshit about it comes about if it's not related. And nature unfolds of itself. Settle back into nature, but it takes you where it takes you. Amazing, that. And that's pretty hard to believe. Because I've looked the self-centered for years and years and years, causing all sorts of stuff. But to turn me around and tell me to look at myself. Mm-hmm.
Hey, your Inspired Tribe. I want to take a quick sec. I wanted to share something today with you that is really dear to my heart. And it's actually what keeps the entire ecosystem around the Inspired Evolution thriving, my one-on-one coaching. So it's basically coaching that helps you live a spiritually aligned life. I coach people from all different types of walks of life. These people are leaders and they're looking to have an incredible spiritual impact in the lives that they're leading for themselves and then also lead in alignment to their values. Now, you don't have to take my word for it. Here's a few people that have also transformed through my coaching, and here's what they have to say.
Amrit is a fantastic coach.
In a few sessions, he got to a depth that I'd only experienced before working with certain medicines. And
he's gone through a lot of the struggles that you're probably facing.
Then my corporate banking job wasn't really doing it.
You feel like you're not making progress towards your goals.
And Amrit's been a really strong, supportive figure in my journey.
I'm more in control of myself.
I'm kinder to myself.
I actually have that vision and a purpose.
I do feel like I'm a better version of myself already.
Amazing energy.
He was easy to talk to, which made me easy to trust him.
Working with Amrit at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and really I was bouncing out of bed.
Whenever I get off the calls with Amrit, best money we've ever spent.
I would not recommend him because I don't want everyone to know about him and then I won't be able to book him. If he gets too busy, I won't get my turn.
I would say absolutely.
There's no way you can work with Amrit for a period of time without being transformed.
So if you're considering him as a coach, do not hesitate because you won't be disappointed.
As you guys can see, there's a lot of people all over the world from all these different corners experiencing incredible transformations. I don't think, if I can say humbly myself, that there is anything quite like this somewhere else online. Most people that, you know, have channels that, you know, grow and grow and grow don't really focus on one-to-one offerings. I have just found that it is the most profound space where you can bring yourself in a private container and really just share what's going on for yourself. And if you want to book in for that call with me, touch base, it's www.amrit.coach/life. That's www.amrit.coach/life. There is a link in the show notes below to book in that call. And yeah, if you want to take your journey further, if you want to dive in deeper and you really want to live a spiritually aligned life, if it's for you, please do check it out. And without too much further ado, once again, for your spirit, for yourself, today's podcast.
It's interesting to think about how one commences the journey of surrendering the I, like this concept of me, when me is all we really know from such an early stage. Or like you've described, we've been conditioned into a me, and then the invitation in this conversation is, yeah, but all your suffering comes from me and the me is an illusion. But then, you know, there's this kind of okay, and maybe you'll find this hilarious, maybe you won't, but as I start tuning into your work, there's no beating around the bush. There's an ambition, Bob, to try and, okay, let go of yourself. And it's like, there's this real ambitious energy about it. Like, okay, like let go of yourself. And I can feel that the ambition is like the source essence of me. Just like all that striving to let go of something is like, and it's like, oh, pardon my French, fuck, I'm back where I started, like before even taking off. It's just...
There's an ambition to let go, detach.
When I drill back in, the ambition is like, why are you so ambitious about this? Like, why is there so much push? Like, our eternal nature likely just is, and you don't have to like go for it as much. And that's where I guess the question sort of alludes for me is, for those that are interested or inspired is probably the right word, to shift into a more non-dual, do I call it a state of awareness, state of living? Where does the journey, how does one begin the journey? Is it typical for most people? Is it atypical for most people? Like, how does one commence integrating this awareness into day-to-day living?
Well, something maybe to look a bit further into. The minute you start looking into things and investigating things, that they tell you the false cannot stand up to investigation. When you really start looking into it, you'll see a lot of these erroneous beliefs that we took on. A belief is not the actual. And that's it. Look in your dictionary, definition of belief, an unquestioned acceptance of something in the absence of reason, acceptance of an alleged fact without positive knowledge or proof. And all these facts we take on and think to be real, when you really look into them, they can't stand up to that investigation. Innate intelligence, the life is just shit that's for the grip. Why did I take that on? Really? Doesn't mean to say you won't still use words and activities. That's all the way it's about things are being formed. The belief in it will not cause all the misery and unhappiness. So that's it in the hand of Dharmarupa, the five factors that divide that is existence. Chitta is consciousness, Ananda is loving to be. Nama, rupa, name and form, they tell you, that's the body mind, is Maya, it's illusion. But existence, are you existing right now? Of course you are. Are you conscious right now? Of course you are. Are you happy to be right now? Well, you don't want to be dead right now, so you're happy to be. So you're already that. What's the search all about? Trying to become what? Well, you are that.
Therein lies the rub. is the seeking, and the nature of, like you said, there's going to be a curiosity that drives one to peel back the beliefs. I love the way you describe beliefs, because at some point then it all feels like it's just beliefs stacked upon beliefs, to be honest. But then, yeah, then there's this seeking, but then there's also why are we seeking, and how do we actually get there? Do you think there is, obviously you met Nisargadatta Maharaj in India. Do you think this state of awareness is available for most people, or do you think it's like destiny, that in your life you'll pop open to into a space of where you're carrying the non-dual awareness more frequently than not? What are your thoughts on that?
Available to most people, it's not all people. There is only awareness, presence awareness, that you're not unaware right now. And isn't that happening presently, right now, presently? So it's already there. So people, what they call when we lock into this idea of me, they call it ignorance. We think we're dull or stupid, doesn't mean that at all. What it means, what was before our very eyes right now, that space, like awareness, the basic space, is there, but it's not noticed, it's ignored. And we go into the concepts, into the stories, into the word, and obscure it with the. Go outside in a cloudy day, when you say the sun's not in the sky. No, because you know the sun never leaves the sky. But you look at it, and you can't see the sun for the cloud. And if you question that, ask yourself, what forms the cloud? Then you see it, well, it's the sun that forms the cloud. The sun doesn't know anything about the cloud, but in its radiance and its heat and its warmth, it evaporates water. The water rises, and it'll cool down and condense and come down as rain. And that rain will fall back into the river again and go back into the ocean. And you see, all the sun has done is shine. And then that shining, it's fall clouds and things, but nothing is ever happened. You know, all that's happening, this light is expressing. And all these pattern shapes and forms appear and disappear, do what they like. But nothing, another thing has ever happened. It's absolute, it's totality. And it's a joyousness when you recognize that you are that essence, nothing but what, there's a sense of well-being there. Nothing wrong. No way that's going to be suffering. We're unhappy, all because thoughts, nothing either good, Shakespeare tells you, nothing either good or bad, but thinking basis. You're right. Look at the way thinking happened. Good and bad, pleasant, painful, happy, sad, loving, hating, positive, negative. Always in the opposites. But our problem is we take the opposites to be separate. Not seizing the two ends of the one stick. So if it's good, like it's day and night, so the sun will roll around and change it, but not opposite. It'll change by itself. When the good comes up, we don't want it, we struggle with it, not recognizing. This manifesting the transient is constantly changing. When something comes up and we like it, we don't want, we like to go away, we keep hanging on to it. Not realizing the matter of how much you love it, how much you love it. How much you want to keep it there, that's going to change. Like this body is changing right now in this moment, it's changing. There are thousands of cells not in it right now, them being replaced. And each cell is being replaced, knows what to do. It's in skin cell that replaces the brain cell. Brain cell won't replace the heart cell. All knowing what to do. But something comes up, we like it. We don't want it to go, so what do? We keep it there, try to keep it there. We resist it from going. Well, that resistance is conflict. And resisting your conflict. That conflict makes you uneasy. In other words, for uneasiness is dis-ease. And there's resistance
conflict and disease going on in this mountain right now. The other way around, something comes up that I don't like. Oh, I shouldn't be thinking that. I shouldn't be feeling that. I've got to get rid of it. So I do resist it again.
Mm.
And disease, that's what our life's made up of. That's where all the suffering and fear comes from. But not realizing if things are left as they are, it'll change of itself like the sun rolls around the earth, the seasons come and go, the tides come in and out, and tsunamis will come, storms will come, and all settle down, left as it is, fires and floods. In their life, all these things will come, but left as they are, settling down to them, that life essence itself will take it through.
There's two questions emerging in my head. I'll go with one. So the when we hear you share, or when I hear you share that, there's this, the me sort of understands as it starts to let go of the me into, like you said, all that is and that just is. It feels empty. There's like an emptiness. It thinks of it as completely empty, somewhat like there's this like, ooh, that kind of sounds a bit stark. You know, is kind of the what the sort of mind conjures up when it starts to peer in. Let's put it that way. And then, having spoken to you, is like you're in what you just said is like, oh, it's just pure joy. And it's like, wait, what? The mind finds it really hard to reconcile those two things. And so I totally appreciate that this is beyond the mind. But just the irony and the nature of that is quite fascinating to sort of contemplate why the mind conceives of it as empty and hollow when letting, yeah, sorry, I'll let you take over.
Cognizing emptiness. And he told him that's not we that cognizing, that just the emptiness is doing the cognizing, and the emptiness is form. And the form could be nothing other than the empty. Well, back to the absolute, this joyous, natural well being, a sense of well being, nothing wrong with you, being well. We call ourselves human being. Believe in God, you call God the supreme being. Take away that word supreme, take away that word human. Try and tell me you're not me without those words. You can't negate the beingness. And beingness is not becoming. That's the other thing. We think we will become something. The becoming implies time. When you look into that construct of time and you say, that's not a fiction. Is there a past if you don't think about it? No. So past, you can't live in the past. You can't live a moment ago, but or last week, but you might recall it. And what you're recalling, you're recalling right now. And if you don't remember it, it's gone for good. It's only what you're recalling, the future. You can't live in the future. You can anticipate and imagine what you're going to do after you leave this thing, but that won't be what's happening. That anticipate the imagination is happening right now. It won't be in the future. When you, it is the so-called that time with the head, well, it will be again what it is. But this past and future concept and what's left now, spontaneous now. Now it's spontaneous. It's not time-bound. It's got no duration. Time is duration. Beginning and end. Now it's got, when's that? Right now. When does that begin? Now. When's it ending? Right now. When's it beginning? Right now. Ever fresh, presence of awareness. Ever fresh, ever new, spontaneous.
And it's all built upon space, back to where we were talking about before.
Yeah, beautiful thing. Yeah, the beautiful thing points it out, you know, beautifully, you know, I don't know. Yeah, Longfellow, poet. You heard of Longfellow, American poet?
No.
One of his poems is called The Slave's Dream. It goes on the start of, I won't go into the whole one, Have you come to observe in that, slaves? So he dipped the outside line in the heat of the day, you know, he died. But he did not feel the driver's whip and with the burning heat of day. For death had illumined the land of sleep, and his worn out body lay a worn out feather that the soul had broken, thrown away. When he had all these fetters and bondage, he got himself these thoughts. No more fetters. Where does go? Soul is the singularity, not if so you will. You know, but seeing the singularity. It goes back into his natural singular state again.
It almost seems like from the state of awareness that you're discussing this from, that death isn't really something to fear. It's this sort of almost a relief, or like, it's not even a relief. It just, it's hard to put words to it, but it's like this going home almost is probably the only way I could really.
Well, we're looking at that bloke staying right now, one of the philosophers. He was in the Spanish Civil War and he was captured by the hangers and they put him in this cell. And they're going to shoot him. Yeah. You know? And he's in this cell down there. He's writing these theories on the wall, whatever it was, about someone. And it hit him. You know? And he said, death became a laughing impossibility. And they recognised that. He's settled into that. And he didn't get shot. They released him. Let him go. And he wrote many books later on. A laughing impossibility.
Wow. Bob, from your time in India, you had some pretty profound, insightful shifts. And maybe you can describe them if you're up for it. But then also the question was going to be along the lines of post, like with those shifts, has your awareness of like your non-dual awareness over time matured, shifted, changed, or has it been kind of like there was a reset that happened and you sort of stayed with it with the reset? Can you describe the evolutionary process of your awareness?
Yes, man. I'm going to say that I've heard what he was saying. I've heard many times before. We all heard it, you know, the same old thing. You are that. But this time, something in the way it was said, I don't know what was in it, but it resonated. And I heard it. And I said, yeah, I'll never be caught in the mind again. And I walked out the door in the wash. But it wasn't the same. I had seen through it. And it came up as the chatter was going on. Hang on, you've seen through this. And recognize it again. And down through the years, from then on, ever more coming back to it and recognizing the old habits died away, and you step more and more into it, you know. And now it hardly ever gets to, you get disturbed by it sometimes, but it's not for long. When you get locked into something and get caught, same old practice. So you let it go. And the body's breaking down still, it's getting worse and worse, and then that can cause a bit of pain, and that's all pain is, a sign that all not well with the body, do something about it. And you know what you can about and kind of heal it, you know. It's a psychological pain, psychological stuff, and there's none of that there and it hasn't been there, you know. And there's no fear in death. And it's going to be very shortly, because I've got cancer in the stomach now and several other things. So these patterns, but that's some way to live, I suppose. You know?
Gosh, would. Sorry to hear that. There's a what I'm visualizing is like there's this pitch named midnight blue sky, and there's these stars on the sky, and most of us inhabit this me, which is the light within the star. But really, as you're sort of describing it, you know, you peel back to the midnight sky, you can sort of see the mind for what it is, which is just that point of light. And Yeah, it's quite fascinating to imagine like how your relationship with your suffering then sort of, you know, because when you are the star, it's like it's all you, like all that suffering is you psychologically, and you're just, you're entrapped in it. But then when you peel back to the night sky, and then there's just, oh yeah, there's the mind and it is suffering. The words, I guess, that are coming to me are like contraction and expansion. It seems like quite a contracted space to be, even though there's like that light of awareness of the me, as opposed to the night sky, which is much more expanded, touch wood. And then, yeah, there's less contraction there. Am I being too much of a poet here? I'm not even sure there's a question there. There's a musing.
So, you know, the light, you are the light. Christ, I'm a light of the world. And you are the light. Who's that light coming to you? Someone's come through the corn, their mother.
Yeah.
Some on the corn, the light of life comes in here. Now, light needs an aperture to shine out of. Where does it shine out of? Your eyes, naturally.
Mm.
Light and light. It's Christ, and I'm the light of the world. So don't hide your light under the bushel, that your light so shine before men. They may see your good works and glorify that Father. That big daddy that's not big daddy up there in the sky, going to beat the shit out of you. But that, well, that's your intelligence energy. You are that light, and you see something die. Ever watched a person die or a thing die? First thing that happens, their eyes glaze over. The light of life goes out. I am the light. I am the truth. I am the light. He wasn't talking about shit. People thought he was talking about himself. He wasn't, because his self, there is only one self. That's the Atman. Absolute self, with personal self. We all believe ourselves, are we? Burn these words, I am such. That's the problem. That you reside in personal, and we know. Be what you are, a lot.
So, your relationship with transitioning on at the moment, touchwood, like that's quite profound given the juncture that you're at. There's no fear in terms of what's next for yourself. Can I ask that question?
Well, I thought, you know, God was understanding and came back in Australia. Everything would be a happy girl and live a happy life ever after. So we bought a little farm and we're going to do great things with that and live the life of ease and just natural growing things with it. The drought and the flood, and the drought and the flood. Then we lost everything at the table on them. On top of my duck boxer and my favorite by my scooter. Where before I'd have been blowing my head off, you know. I used to think with curiosity, well, how's this one going? And amazing enough, it did unfold. I think 4 years ago, over the rocks with a fever that couldn't walk, hardly walk in the winter, you know. It turned things around. We came down to Melbourne. And got a little health food store. Didn't know anything about health foods, but soon learned about them. And that's kicked on. And there weren't any health food store there at the time. And they weren't in the chemists or the warehouse or anywhere else. They were only in the store. There were only a few of them. So we got made good money there. And we bought a house and we invested a lot. We invested with a dodgy listener. It's all taken away. Again, you know, being, but no, I don't know how this one had to work out. And then that got to that together again, and we went on from there. And eventually, my first wife died. There I am left on my own. And oh, going all right, you know, things that wasn't clear much about myself. And then from the other side of the world, did not want anything. Cat turns up. There's a natural coming together, natural. And very joyous and laughing. Life again, you see. It's taken away and comes around. And each time, left as it was about getting knocked into it too much, it changes and turns around. Now it's got, now I've got cancer and both knees operated on, hip operation and on borrowed time. I couldn't give a shit. I'm never know.
There is a, it's inappropriate for me to say this to you, but there is an incorrigible part of your nature that I can't see. Maybe I could just relate. I shouldn't have said that to you, but maybe I could just relate.
Well, that's how it was years ago.
Thank you so much for sharing. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was when Nisargadatta Maharaj was sharing, there was something about the way that he was sharing that you just, it landed and it just helped you. I don't want to use the word pop, but I'm going to use the word pop because I can. Into another space, let's say, or however we want to describe that. Is that what inspires you so much to share? Because, Bob, like you said, you're, by all shapes and means, the body's in a state right now, but you're still doing your weekly satsangs and you're still sharing. You're here sharing, which I'm so grateful for. And yet there's this, I don't want to use the word, incorrigible comes to mind. But, is that what drives so much of the inspiration behind wanting to share about this, hoping that, more and more people may potentially shift, or what drives it?
Well, about retiring at 65 here, I'm 95 now, I'm still working. But to someone, I'm back.
Yeah, I'm not sure which dream you're living.
Sorry. Yeah, you came back to me. I was full of it. And I had to share it, in the AA fellowship. And that's where the name Silent Bob came from, actually. Started talking about it, and that was an anonymous fellowship. But I didn't use their surnames. There was Geordie Bob and Angerton Bob, Brighton Bob, Big Bob, and I was a seaman at the time. If I went over there, I got Sailor Bob. So then I was taught the druggies and helping out of that, and they'd introduce me to some of their friends to come along. And that's how the name got and stuck. There's no big deal. It's just one of those things that happened.
It's kind of poetic because there's this whole connotations around just sailing through life as well. Sailor Bob, it's this really, it works on many levels. Sorry, I'll just say that. The question still stands in terms of, is that what drives you to share so much? The experiences that you've experienced from other great teachers' sharings, is that what inspires you to teach? Well, I know as soon as I say teach, I'm probably triggering you because I've listen to your parable about the pointing and the pointed. Maybe you can share that, but then also what inspires you to keep going and sharing so much around the state?
I don't know. It just comes up and people hear it. There's still people that hear it and, changes their life, turns a lot of them around. There's some people I hadn't come along and listened, didn't like it, walked out, but 30 years later they turned up again. Is that it? And others haven't nearly turned away, they haven't got it, and a lot of them are dying, a lot of the people. I'm out living a hell of a lot of people. I don't know what.
So, Bob, what, I can't say what lessons, what lessons do you have, like, again, I'm trying to identify with a you, so there's I'm conscious of how loaded the question can be, but the surface level question was going to be, what are your hopes for what gets imparted on through your work? But then there's a lot of you in there, and I'm conscious of that. But that's the question.
Well, you all tell me in the scriptures, the problems are hope and fear. So I'm not hoping for anything, and I'm not fearing anything.
And so it's just a natural, everyone is on their journey and on their path, and hopefully it will find them or it won't find them, and that's all just part of natural cause and phenomenon.
Effortless, natural.
Any words of advice for those that doubt the non-dual awareness or the state that are like, I'm not sure if this is really a thing?
Well, and I generally start off the talks. I can't teach you anything. I can't tell you anything. All I can do is point out, point toward, and ask you to look to where I'm pointing to see for yourself. Nobody can tell you anything. Nobody can do anything for you because there is nobody accepting you. So if you get the taste of it and hear it, then you go along those lines. And people, some do, some don't. That's how it is. Some might hear it in other ways. But down through the ages, we look at it's all there, being passed from one to the other. Don't you see? And the word and the talk, the resonance that's in there, something resonates. Does it resonate with me? And I heard something, and it's very like, that is the same being, and no effort, such an entering being, knowing and loving to be. It's the loving to be that comes out and expresses. And they say God is love. If God is love, then love must be God. And that's the same. Look to it. Was that natural love of each and every one of us. Let it express. It's seemingly obscured and ignored. Open up and let it out. And if you get a full copy, you've got to cut keep it in there. You've got to pour it out and let it refill itself. And say, well, that's what I came back and blah, 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 blah. It was pouring out of it somewhere here or somewhere on. And it continues to refill itself and renew. And it says in the Bible, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How would you renew your mind? Keep reminding yourself, I'm not the prisoner of the limits. And it renews itself.
Keep reminding the mind that it's not the mind. Say that 10 times really fast. No, so sorry. I will be doing that after this podcast just because I'm quirky. That's what a mantra is. That's probably how they came to be. Two monks sitting in an ashram, daring them to say things faster and faster. Sorry. Yeah, and there seems to be, well, just taking the thread of mantras, it seems like the more I tune into your work that a deep understanding of Satchitananda is, I'm so glad we've covered so much of that today. And then also the I am seems to be a real key in that awareness of like, yeah, because we call, and I think that's the part that really, well, for where I'm at on my journey, touch wood, I can probably say that it's like I start to identify as this big overcoat, I guess, of most things, like I am my body, I am my mind, I am like, and it's like my body, my mind, my car, my house, exactly how you were saying earlier. The connotations of, but who is saying my, oh, I am, and there's like this real I am presence that you're alluding to, which seems to open up a great deal of curiosity and openness and unknowing, as a bit of a key. Would you say it is a bit of a key?
Yeah, what I am is a sense of presence. Like in the story in the Bible again of Moses, I think it was Moses or somebody on the mountain anyway, looking after the Jewish people, and they're all playing up and running in his cup together, but it was some sense of order into it. So up on the mountain, he's pondering over this and that. Seeing what the hell will I do with them, and it came to this idea of the Ten Commandments, the tablets. So he says, well, listen, bitch, good to take these back and they can work to these and this will straighten things out of it. He says, who shall I say sent me? He's probably, and it's going to him, tell him, I am sent you. He says, shit, I am that I am. He wouldn't lift the shit out of it, but he realized, I am that I am. And that's the truth.
I love that. There's a question left to be asked, I guess, around what you, and again, you think, I'm conscious of how loaded the questions are, with persona, but yeah, what a life well lived, means, in your humble awareness. Yeah.
I can't say much about that. Just a lie, really. It's not up to me. If I had said what I thought about life, it wasn't too well lived at all. And letting it be so, it's working out much better.
Wow. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to, yeah, just share yourself so abundantly here with us today. I know there is so much going on in your world, and I'm so grateful for this rare opportunity to connect with, yeah, the insights, really, from the space that you invite us all to. And I'm just leaving with that real midnight sky awareness, you know, of just that expanded space where, yeah, the identification with me can be surrendered. And it's not an empty experience. It's this really weird, there's more. It's very intriguing. It's very inspiring. And I'm just really grateful. Like we said before we tuned into today's podcast, there's people that in my community that, you know, revere your work dearly. And I revere them dearly. So it's this real, real deep sense of gratitude and appreciation for everything that you embody and have been sharing, and yeah, all that you continue to do for us. Thank you so much.
And well, as I say, it's not everything that I say can be pulled apart. If anybody can say it, they all can be pulled apart. But some will hear it. Go along those lines and it might benefit. As I did when I did. Don't really matter. But I say, I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm not speaking to any mind. I'm speaking to that I am that I am. And that sense of presence that expresses through the mind as the thought I am, just as this loving it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this amazing episode of The Inspired Evolution. Without you, The Inspired Evolution Tribe, this podcast would not be what it is today. Thank you so much for your love and your support. Thank you so much for being so inspired to evolve. It's truly inspiring. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to The Inspired Evolution on YouTube, the home of The Inspired Evolution's video podcast. We release inspiring conversations such as this every week, along with guided meditations and empowering insights, all designed to help you grow and evolve. Honestly, your subscription on YouTube to the channel helps us out a great deal. And one of the other benefits, if you're having any insights or shifts from these episodes that you want to chat about, or if you'd like to leave myself or the guest a message, please do so in the comments on YouTube. I truly look forward to hearing from you. And as always, Tribe, remember to stay inspired and keep evolving.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.